Hallelujah, Lord. There ain't none like him. There ain't one like him. There ain't one like him, is it? Praise God. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. You know, as we were here praising the Lord, I tell you, I heard this in my ear. It's hard, and it breaks my heart for you. It's hard to praise the Lord if you're bound. And I get it. I get it. Bound by what, Pastor John? Glad you asked me. I tell you, if you're bound by self-image, you're scared what you're going to look like. It's hard to praise the Lord. If you're bound by pride, it's hard to praise the Lord. It is. If you're bound by humanism, it just don't make sense. Why do I need to praise the Lord? What? And I tell you, if you're bound, you can't hardly praise him. But those of you who are free, you got something to praise the Lord for. Because I tell you, you once was lost, but now you are found by God. You got something to praise the Lord about. Praise God. So it's hard. It's hard for me to be still. And it ain't no dog and pony show. It ain't to see who can holler the loudest. I get it. If you bound, you can't praise him. So my heart breaks because God don't want you bound. He wants you free. Do you get it? He wants you free. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Listen, while we're here in the presence of the Lord, before I dismiss, I want to ask Courtney Gillespie. Courtney, can you and Alex both come up, or have you got a little one? Can y'all come up for just a minute? You know the Lord sent us this couple, and I love them. I don't know what to say, but I love you guys. Amen. Praise the Lord. I wanted Courtney, if she would, to share a testimony, what she shared with me a couple of weeks ago, and I'm a hush.
So on the 14th, it was the last Sunday we've been here until today, we came in. I woke up, I didn't want to go to church. I just wasn't in the mood.
Did you say what you didn't want?
I knew the enemy was trying to get there. I'm sorry. So I did not want to go to church, okay? I got here, I just seen everybody like talking and praising, and I got even madder. Like, I don't want to be here. I don't belong here. And then Martez came in. I don't call him Alex, by the way, I call him Martez. So he came in, he said, "It's very lively in here." I don't know, something just struck me, and I was like, "You know what? You're right." So then the first song came on, Lion, and the worship was just amazing. Like, I just experienced it in a different way. My mood changed. And then the second song came on, I think it was You Know My Name, if I'm not mistaken. Not many of you guys know, in 2017, I was in a bad accident. I broke 31 bones. I was thrown out my vehicle. I was originally told I wasn't going to make it through the night. And then I was told I wasn't ever going to walk. I made it through everything. That song brought me through it because I wanted to die. For the first 4 days, I begged my mama to suffocate me. So that song just came on, and I don't know, I just went in tears of joy I've never experienced before. And he just reminded me that he was not done with me yet. I don't know what my purpose is, but he's not done with me yet. And just so much has fallen off of me. The anger that I felt from that accident, the anger of not being able to give myself fully to him, just so much has fallen off of me. And just the last couple of weeks, everything's just been coming together. He's showed me I have to submit to my husband. I have to submit to him. He's just working in me in a way that I've never experienced. So it was the enemy trying to tell me not to come. Where would I be today if I didn't?
Praise God. Praise God. I wanted to bring Alex up because I want y'all to see who's who, you know. A lot of times we don't know people. Oh, I didn't know that was your husband. Yeah, so praise God. Thank y'all so much. Love you guys. And I just appreciate your testimony. And let me tell you why I want you to testify. Because we're overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So it has power to it. So love you guys. Praise God. I wanted you to testify. Praise the Lord. All right. So now, Rachel, you give me permission. So I won't. Or come on, Rachel. You told me I could. Praise God. You can't tell me I can. So, Rachel, come on. Let's come out here in the middle. Rachel was, praise God. Well, I'm going to let Rachel tell it. Hear it.
My name's Rachel, clearly. Pretty new here, and I don't really know many people here at all. So the first time that you asked me to do this, I said, maybe not, just because, again, don't really know anybody. But what you just said, the words of our testimony, how can I feel God and have God telling me to say something and say no? So most of you don't really know me, but I was a youth pastor for over 5 years, a while ago, right? And I was very close with God. Every day felt him. We talked to each other. It was one of the best times, one of the best jobs I ever had. And then due to unforeseen circumstances in the church I worked for, pastors move around to different locations, and then they like to bring in their crew. So stopped that job, and I was very, very upset. I had 4 kids that I started with and ended with 75 on my first week. It was amazing. So it was a really good place and time. So I was very upset, actually. This is going deeper than I think what you thought. So I was very upset by that and very angry with God when I was done with that job. And it wasn't just that. And slowly, I just started to feel very burnt out and not as close to him anymore as I should be. And then eventually, I just stopped going to church because I was just like, you know, where did that girl go? I didn't want to be here. I had that feeling. And I just kind of, instead of going closer to God when you're supposed to, I kind of backed away. So a friend of mine said, hey, you should come try my church here. I did. And since then, I've really felt reconnected with God, and it's been amazing. And when you say your stories of, I have to say this, this isn't my sermon, I don't know why, but somebody needs to hear this. Well, that was me a couple weeks ago. And you were going on about reminding people how much God loves you. Just a simple, small thing that we all know, we learn in Sunday school. But just being able to hear that particular week, I really needed it. I was struggling with a million things in my life, and that week I really needed to hear that. I felt overwhelmed by the Holy Spirit, and just reminded me, hey, God's with you, God loves you. So every time we're here, you're preaching, you're telling stories that are not your sermon, we're singing songs, God's speaking to us. Yes. Are we willing to listen? And are we willing to respond when he talks to us?
Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God. Praise the Lord.
John.
Hey, yes.
One of the things that I just want to add to what Rachel and Courtney says is during the worship, something broke off of them. That's what happened. In worship, it broke off, and they knew something had happened. Worship is important. That's all I want to say.
One of the desires of my heart, so you'll understand why it means as much as it does to me, I understand, you know, and I know there's a lot of Bible scholars sitting in the house, and I get it. I do believe on laying on hands. I know the Bible tells us to lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. I understand. I have this conviction. It brings me to tears if I talk about it. The day is coming, and the day is here, that while we're praising the Lord is going to move among his people without anybody laying hands on anybody, and God's going to do a work that only God can do. Pastor Les, I have had that birth in me by the Holy Ghost. It's tattooed on my heart. I believe God. And I tell you, no man will take any glory. It won't be about no gift. It'll be God Himself done this with me, to me, in me, through me. And that's what Rachel said to me. I was praising the Lord. And that's what Courtney said to me that day. And yes, I do run rabbit trails. And Rachel, you are absolutely correct. I run a rabbit trail. I call it a rabbit trail, and I shouldn't call it that, but I don't know what else to call it. But I do sense that the Holy Spirit wants to speak to somebody sometimes, and I don't know who it is. I used to ask the Lord because it would make me look very spiritual if I said, "Now, Nancy, I'm talking to you specifically." But I know this is not what the Holy Spirit wants from me. I just know that sometimes I know I'm talking to more than one. And I just know. So I don't know how I know that. I don't know how I know it. I just know it. So my rabbit trails will. So let me do one more thing. I know I'm taking a lot of time. Elder Jesse, can you and Lois come here for just a minute? You're not even prepared for this, I know. And that you have to just kind of, would you, Pastor, blessed are the flexible, for they shall bend and not break. So you just kind of have to. So I wanted to bring Elder Jesse up, and his wife, Lois, and I just need to borrow some money. I'm kidding.
Wrong answer.
let me tell you what I want you to pray about. Okay, I want the church to join us in prayer. I believe that God has birthed something in my spirit, and I believe God put it there. And so, and I've asked Elder to help me with it. For several times, we have done some outreaches in the past. Well, we've done Christmas Love in the Carolinas. We did it in Durham. We give away toys, and we give away a lot of stuff. And we ministered to a lot of families. Then we done Christmas Love in Holly Ridge, and we went down, and we got the fire station. So let me fast forward. I've asked Elder, if he would, to help me spearhead Christmas Love in Lewisburg. So I want us all involved. So I ask Elder and Lois to help us with that. He knows everybody down there almost. And so I just believe God's got his hand on that, and we'll give you more details. He's already reached out to the mayor. He's already got people on board. And so this thing, I just tell you, I believe God wants us. Now, I understand, why would you go, if you're going to say, why are you going to go to Lewisburg? Just because I feel like I have an open door there for some odd reason. Yep. Yep. My mama used to say, I don't understand why in the world y'all go to Dominican Republic when all of these Americans are. You ever heard them?
Yes. Yes.
Do y'all know that we tried to go to West Virginia one year and told the pastor that we tried to work through? I don't know why I'm telling you this, but just get you some of it. I said, Pastor, we're going to come up here. Don't cost you a dime. All we want to do is work through your church. I like working through other pastors and through other works. Hey, God bless y'all. Love you, man. You said that, okay? I just want people to put a face with it. See, here's, and do you know they would not let us come to West Virginia? But Dominican Republic will open up their arms and open up their doors. That's why we go, because God has given us an open door. One more thing. Can I have Olga and Eric down here? So, so yeah, y'all just stand there and look at everybody and everybody, y'all take a look at them. I want to share something with you. We've been preaching and teaching on unity, coming together, walking in unity, living in unity. They bring another dimension to it. Last night, they were married in my backyard. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? Mr. and Miss Bluhar. Yeah, praise God. So got the license, done the whole thing. Just at a backyard barbecue, and Eric said, hey, why can't we go ahead and get married? I said, you talking to the right one, brother? Hey, let's do it. I'm in. Let's do it. Praise God. So, oh, it was her. Olga.
Yeah.
Oh, ooh. Well, I ain't going to go there. He ain't crazy. It's her idea. So, congratulations. Praise God. He did agree. I heard you say, I will. Yeah, praise God. Isn't it wonderful? Praise God. Well, listen, we can have our kids, okay, blue horse. Hey, and they on their honeymoon, and they came to church. Ain't that a great model? Let's go to church for our honeymoon. Isn't that good? That's good, isn't it? So I want to dismiss our kids to children's church and our middle schoolers. Praise God. Isn't the Lord doing some wonderful things? Man, I tell you something. God is good. God is good. God is good. Did I forget something? Okay. She whispered in my ear something before I got started, and I forgot what she whispered in my ear. So, I love you too, baby. I love you too, baby. So, yeah. I want to share with you what the Holy Spirit has helped me with this week, okay? So, praise the Lord. So, can I switch off?
I forgot. I'm sorry.
You got me? Ooh. Can y'all hear me now? Okay. So, the Lord is so good, isn't he? All the time, the Lord is good. So, Father, we just bow our heads to you this morning, and we acknowledge you. And, Lord, I already sense in my spirit that your presence is here and that you're about to speak to your children. And I want to, Lord, bind the enemy that comes to kill, to steal the word out of your people's ears before it even finds a lodging place. I come against darkness, principalities, in Jesus' name, Lord. And I pray that you would open our ears and that your word would find a lodging place in our hearts, and God, it'd bring forth much fruit in Jesus' name. I thank you for it. So, I'm back in 2 Peter again. I tell you why I like going. I don't always do this. I can skip around and just do different things. But when we go just all of the Bible and we go all of the scriptures, I just tell you, I think it's good. I think there's more there than you thought was there. I know this. I was about before COVID, I had a brother come up, and I was teaching on the Holy Spirit. I wasn't teaching anything that nobody that everybody teaches about. At least I thought. I don't go to other churches, so I don't know what to teach in, but I have been before here. But I was just took them through Acts. Just when the Holy Spirit, didn't even know it was a baptism. I can't get my mind around you not knowing that there's a baptism in the Holy Spirit if you read your Bible. I can't get that around my, it don't compute. I don't mean that as a shot to nobody. So the brother comes up and says, I didn't even know till you took us through the Bible, and thank you. Well, I said, well, can I ask you a question? I mean, I'm talking to a grown man. I'm not talking to a 19-year-old or 20-year-old. Pastor Les, this guy, he's been in the Baptist church, no shot to Baptist all of his life. And I said, How can you not know that there's not a Holy Spirit, a baptism? How can you not know it? To my surprise. Do you know what he said? Because every time we get to there, we go to another passage. We just don't talk about that subject. So, beloved, it's important that we do all of the Bible.
Yes.
See, you know, listen, check up on the pastor, me and any other pastor. Check up on it. See if it's content, context. Is it true? Because, you know, I'm not going to say nothing else. One time I started talking about pastors right here, and the Holy Spirit moved on my heart, and I had to repent right here in front of all of y'all. See, I don't want to go about other pastors. I'm going to hush about pastors. I cannot understand, though, if I didn't realize that people can take you from one scripture to another and avoid some things that's life-changing. So, therefore, let's just be careful, and let's just eat all of it. That's how I feel. So, we've been in Peter for several weeks, and we're still there. Let me read to you and see if you can glean anything from these words. So, I got through last week talking about Peter and what he was telling about the qualities and them seven qualities. And matter of fact, for two Sundays in a row, spoke on them seven qualities. But I want to start down here now with, I'm still in chapter 1, but I want to start with verse 16. And Peter said, he's telling these followers that we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty.
Yes.
For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, "This is my Son, my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain. Let me stop right there for just a minute. I'm gonna run a rabbit trail here just a second. For anyone in the building, in the church here, that would be a little confused about, is there a Trinity? Let me just say this. Here again, we have on display in the Word of God, we have a voice, the Father God speaking from heaven about the Son who's sitting here praying. And the glory that shone round about them is the presence of the Holy Ghost. We have all three. Same like, again, when Jesus was baptized in water, he come up out of the water. There's a voice from heaven. Sorry. And there's a dove that ascended or descended on Jesus. All three again in one place. Now, the only reason I stop here and talk about this, because a lot of people are confused over it. We've been talking about the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost from the beginning of time. And I realize it's hard to get the natural mind around that. I don't know if anybody can explain it really well that stays doctrinal about it. So, and I'm not trying to be scholarly here. I just want you to understand clearly. Even Jesus said this. When the disciples said, "Jesus, would you teach us to pray?" I mean, Jesus knows how to get his prayers answered. That dude prays, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. There it is. And so, hey, teach us to pray like that. And he said, pray like this. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We're praying to the Father. Now, sometimes I get excited. I call all of them. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. I just tell you, there's a God, Father. There's a Son. And there's the Holy Spirit. So Here we have them on display again. So, and so here they, let me do this. I want to reference, let me go to Mark's gospel. Now, this Mount Transfiguration happened in three of the gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John didn't record it. John was recording some other stuff. And so the three gospels did, but I'm going to use Mark's gospel, and I want to read you this because I want you to hear something. So, in the ninth chapter of Mark, it says this, and after 6 days, I'm starting with verse 2 there, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, led them up a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became radiant, intensely white, as no one on earth could even bleach them. That's pretty white, ain't it? And there appeared to them Elijah and Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. This I want this to encourage you. I want this to be a source of encouragement with the help of the Lord. And Peter said to Jesus, Rabbi, it is good that we are here. Let us make these tents, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. For he did not know what to say, for they were terrified. And a cloud overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud. This is my beloved son. Listen to him. I would love for that. Holy Ghost, by the Spirit of the living God, brand that on our hearts. Let's listen to him. God said, this is my son whom I'm well pleased. Listen. He told his disciples, listen to him. Listen to him. So that stuff just gets in me. I don't know what in the world. It gets a hold of me. Listen to him. And this is my beloved son. Listen to him. Suddenly, looking around, they no longer saw anyone with them but Jesus only. Let me go back to Peter. So that's what Peter's talking about. Now, think of this. I don't know how, except the word tells us, I don't know how that Peter, James, or John knew that that was Moses and Elijah. Moses and Elijah was many, many years, hundreds of years before these guys. And yet, they looked and seen and said, there's Moses. Let me encourage you. There is life after death, beloved.
Yes.
I know there's all kinds of teachings out there. I know some of you may think you're going to lay in the grave somewhere. No, I'll tell you what's going to lay in the grave. Just that body.
That's right.
I tell you, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I tell you, here's the thing. Let me tell you something that's going to shock you. There's not even no interruption. I tell you, you're going to shut your eyes, and you're going to open your eyes in the presence of the Almighty God. There's not even going to be an interruption. There's not even going to, do you understand? To be absent from this body, why God wants to resurrect these old bodies, I don't know. He did Jesus's too. I'm okay with it though. When you get to heaven, if it's still a question, ask him. What do you need this for? But it's going to be a glorified body. Not only that, when the Holy Ghost began to move on him, he said his clothes was radiant. I mean, they can't even hardly look on Jesus. Jesus is transfigured right before. Don't you understand something? Let me mess with your theology a little bit. It's dangerous for somebody with such a shallow mind to try to get so deep. That's what a friend told me one time. Hurt my feelings. I ain't never got over it. Think about something. I want you to think about something. God has preserved Moses and Elijah because the resurrection has not yet happened. They were not resurrected, beloved. God, I tell you, God knows what God is doing. So now, I have no answers for that, but I want you to understand, there's not been a resurrection yet because Jesus is standing there talking to them. What are they talking about? They're talking about his death and resurrection, is what the Bible says. Now, this is interesting to me. They're not going to talk about it. But here's what I want you to know, that God, out of his sovereign wisdom, spoke from heaven, said, I'm well pleased. Now, you ought to hear this, and you ought to grab you some of this. This will help you. This will help you so you don't struggle so much with your imperfections. We all have imperfections. I'm not talking about your sins. Sin is something I deliberately do. I know not do it, and I've done it anyway. It's a sin. You knew not to do that. But we got imperfections sometimes. We have shortcomings sometimes. Have you ever said something and the Holy Spirit quickened you and you knew as soon as it left your lips, I should have not said that. I have grieved God. Forgive me, Lord. How many things have you ever done that, but here's what I want you to understand. What is important to me is when God spoke to the disciples and said, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. You ought to go ahead and just embrace that God is pleased with Jesus. If you're going to try to go in competition with Jesus, good luck there, sunshine. You're not going to impress the Father no more than what the Son. He has said it. It's recorded twice. I am totally pleased with him. And what is so pleasing that he's died for you? You're going to have to get that down in your knower, because Jesus, if you're going to receive what God wants to give you, you're going to have to receive this grace that's been bestowed upon you.
Yeah.
When you was lost and undone and in your deepest sins, he died for you. I want you to get that. I want you to get that down and deep in your spirit. You can say, I don't know why he chose me. And listen, we can all probably say that. Some of us can look at each other and say, we don't know why he chose you either. I don't know. But he did. And said, he sees something that you don't see. He knows something that you don't know. And so it'll help you if you realize that God is already pleased with his son. Now, what God wants you to do is listen to him. Yes. He wants me to listen to him. Now, I'm going to come here for just a minute. He wants us to listen to him. I want you to understand this. So how God preserved Moses and Elijah, I don't know, because they wasn't resurrected. God has somehow taken them up. You know, and God somehow has preserved them. And now here they are standing with Jesus. And here's what I want you to understand. Moses represents the law. Mm-hmm. Elijah represents the prophets. Do you understand? And here's what God wants us to understand, I think, from his words, is Jesus now supersedes Moses and Elijah. Oh, is that good news?
Yes.
That's good news. So here's what I want you to understand. Listen to him. He didn't say listen to them, because I tell you, some people all over the map with this. Some people get saved and then they want to embrace the law of Moses again. You can't do Moses and do. Listen. People want the pastor. Go see what God said. I can tell you right now, if we go back to the days of Moses, if y'all had to wait to see what the pastor said. I tell you, God wants you to come. Yeah. He wants to talk to you. He wants to, do you know, he wants to sup with you, sup, eat, drink with you, not just the pastor. If you're going to do the pastor deal, you're doing the Moses deal again. Don't do that. It's not just to save you, beloved. I know that sense of, it's to be reconciled to you. In other words, your relationship now, there's nothing between you and your relationship except just you. He's already paid for us to have a relationship with you. So, yes, he wants to save your soul, but he wants to talk with you. He wants to walk in the garden of your heart with you. He loved walking with Adam and Eve, and he wants to walk with you. He wants to walk with you. He wants to talk with you. Beloved, do you understand? That's He reconciled us. Jesus reconciled us to the Father. You can come into the Holy of Holies now. Why? Because of Jesus Christ. Not because you just, oh, isn't it? It's just, I just tell you, my God, it's just my field's on fire to think about it. I didn't do any of this. If it wasn't for the Lord, if it wasn't for God, I wouldn't be worth taking to a dog fight. Do you understand? If it wasn't for the redemption work of the Holy Ghost, you wouldn't even want to take me to a dog fight. I don't know why I'm using dog fight. My God. So they're talking, and God said, I want you to listen to him. Listen to him. I'm pleased. I tell you, this is what I want you to take home. I want you to take this home. This is your takeaway. This is your application. Listen to him. Because I want to do one for you. The day is not coming. The day is here. Okay? I want you to understand this. The day is here now. The price has been paid. Okay? And here, there is Jesus Christ. Now, the Jews, they had a hard time. The Gentiles have a hard time believing that was Jesus. But I tell you, the disciples saw with their own eyes. They saw. Because you see, just a week before, Jesus told his disciples, they're getting ready to murder me. They're going to hang me on a cross. They're going to kill me. And it confused them. And they was perplexed over it. And because they thought that he was going to ride in, I guess, on some white stallion, and he's going to shut down the government, the Romans. We're going to put it in the face. And some of us think the same thing. Yeah, we're going to get them. Hell, we got to have, oh, and you start naming people. Let me tell you, it ain't no president going to save this country. It's going to be Jesus Christ that saves this country. It's going to be God that does the work in us. So you ride in on any kind of horse you want to. I tell you this. Let me just tell you this. Let me tell you what disheartened the disciples. It wasn't, Jesus didn't, he didn't confuse them or deceive them. It was their own perception. Does your perception of Jesus, does it confuse you sometimes? Because listen, it can do it. It did them. So now they see with their own eyes. He is Jesus. And not only did we see it, I mean, we saw this character, this guy turn, I mean, radiant with glory. Even his clothes, my, we saw it with our own eyes. And then we heard a voice, and it was God's voice. How'd they know it was God's voice? Well, whose voice could it be? But they knew it was God's voice. And if you have a hard time with that, how did they know that was Moses and Elijah? But they heard the voice, this is my son. That's Jesus. So we can settle it, beloved. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Yes. And he said, don't tell this. Don't go tell this until after my resurrection. I tell you, they can encourage each other with this. Oh, there's a day coming. He's coming to get us. Oh, yes, he's coming to get us. Listen, here's what I sincerely feel that the Holy Spirit wants me to challenge you with. Okay. Has anybody drank down this? Let me just get one swallow. Just one swallow. I don't know why I'm dry. So, here's what I feel and sense in my spirit. You see, I have heard testimony after testimony of what I'm about to say. So here's a big deal for me. I've wrestled with this myself. So this is, I'm not acting like that I have arrived, and all of you need to arrive with me. Dun, 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 dun. Do, 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 do. The pastor. The pastor lives on the pedestal. Yeah, right. No. How many times How many times has the Lord spoke to you and you wouldn't do it? How many times? Something as simple as just go tell them that you love them. Well, if I do that, they're going to think I'm crazy. They might. You never spoke to them a day in your life, and now you love them. Well, can you say I love you with the love of God? How about that? Here's my deal. I tell you, beloved, somewhere in your life journey, your spiritual journey, it's got to get somewhere where the Lord can move on your heart, where the Lord can speak to you, and you will obey, beloved. Yeah. You obey that. Victor, you said yesterday that I was talking about your sermon, and you were talking about mine. So the Holy Spirit, I tell you, the Holy Spirit is on this, beloved. The Holy Spirit wants us to get this because I tell you, how do you think? You know, we want all of America to see how great our God is, and yet every time God asks you to do something, you want to crumble, you want to get afraid, you want to back off. I'm just telling you, just listen to me, please. It's not to put you down. Listen to me too, the pastor. When I was sitting in Burger King. I was with you, wasn't I? Who? I was with somebody.
I don't know what the story is.
Good answer.
Okay, have you ever sat in Burger King with me? God help him, Jesus. It don't matter who I was with, but I was sitting there, and listen, the oddest thing, I don't do this a lot, I heard a couple. Oh. It's okay. You don't have to be in agreement with me. It's okay. I heard a couple arguing. I don't know what they're arguing about. I don't know the couple. I know nothing about the couple. I don't care if they argue. I mean, they, I thought they needed to go to the car. And they did. And took the argument with them. Well, I kept talking to somebody, and somebody was there with me, and I kept talking to him. I don't know who it was. I thought it was Benny. But here's the thing. Chris, all of a sudden, the Lord says to me to go buy their lunch. And I said, now that's the craziest thing I ever heard in my life. They're fighting. Oh, by the way, hey, guys, hey, homie, can I buy you lunch? I mean, I said, how am I going to do this? So I didn't say nothing. I spiritually analyzed it. Well, I don't understand that at all. I don't know them. They don't go to our church. They're fighting. I said in my heart, I shouldn't tell y'all stuff like this, but goodness gracious, I mean, it's the truth. What am I going to say? I said in my heart, well, if they sit there 5 more minutes in that car, I'll go out there and knock on the window. Well, at about 4.5 minutes, they put it in reverse and backed out. And I said, praise the Lord. I said 5. Vinny says, or somebody that was with me, like him, said, are you okay? I said, yeah, I'm good. What's going on? You remember? It's a funny thing, man. Your memory came back. And I said, Vinny, I forgot what I said. I said, I think I was supposed to do something, but I didn't. And then the Holy Spirit spoke to me, said, if you'll go outside and walk around to the drive-thru, they'll pull up. And I said, now, instead of me just saying, can I buy lunch? Now I'm going to go to the drive-thru. I'm going to walk to the drive-thru. Do you see how this is crazy, isn't it? And I'm going to say, I don't know why I keep coming in here. What are y'all? And they were still, and I said, hey, hey, guys. And then the woman says, and so, I mean, literally, I mean, her husband's over here. Here's the car. Her husband's over here. And she's literally like, what do you want? And she's leaning over like that. What do you want? And I said, are y'all Christians? No. I ain't spending my money. Oh, I didn't say that. I'm sorry. I didn't say that, really. I didn't say that. I didn't even say that in my heart. I said, well, do y'all believe in God? Do you believe in Jesus? And I know I'm looking like a nut. I know I am. And she said, yeah. Real matter of fact, I didn't even tell you this, did I?
Yeah.
Oh, I did? Oh. Did I tell you Vinny was with me?
Yeah.
Okay. So. Vinny, that was good. And so I said, you do believe in Jesus? And she said, yes. And I said, well, I just want you to know something. So, and I usually don't even carry cash. This day, of course, I have a little bit of cash. So I said, the Lord wants me to. Now, I'm not saying this to make me look anything. I told y'all I was struggling with this. I didn't even want to do it. I let them drive off. And then I didn't know they was going to drive through the drive-thru. But the Lord knew. And so, and I said, well, the Lord wants me to buy your lunch. What? Now, they're in the middle of a heated conversation. I don't know. And I didn't say y'all shouldn't fight. Do y'all need marriage counseling? Do you? I didn't say anything. I just said, I'm going to say to you, is the Lord wants me to buy you lunch. Well, oh. She raised up. Well, oh, really? Are you serious? I said, I think I give them $20 or whatever. It don't matter. It don't matter. At Burger King, you might can eat for $20. Yeah. Right? Yeah. If you get 2-for-1 or something like that. But here's the whole thing. How long will we keep? We're between two opinions, aren't we, sometimes? How long will you be perplexed between? Joshua said, listen, if you're going to be for God, be for God. If you're going to, listen, why don't you just, right, so here's all I'm saying to you. Why don't we just listen to him?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, your life would be much simpler if we would just listen to him. And let me tell you why. Because if you don't listen to him, he don't get mad with like we would. You know, my wife, she'll say, if you listen, and I'm trying to, it would be much easier. Here's the thing. We want God to use us. We want God to minister through us. We want God. And but the thing you got to understand is God don't always do it on your terms.
That's right.
I don't know. I used to say, I've said a lot of crazy things. We don't need more preachers. Why don't we just support the ones we have? Well, it ain't even about the preachers. It really isn't. Why don't we just have men and women of God who hear from heaven and respond to that? Wouldn't it be wonderful? Wouldn't it be wonderful to go to a church where people just listen to the Holy Spirit, and that's what we do. Now, as a pastor, you have to let people do that. Because, you know, when people start responding to the Holy Spirit, other people say, well, he's crazy. Did you see that? He said that's the Holy Spirit. I'm just using you because
you don't know why.
Yeah, I don't know why I'm using you, but anyway, the Holy Spirit, we second guess him all the time as if he has no wisdom. Do you realize that you're alluding to the fact that either God is crazy, loony, spooky, psychotic, don't know what he's doing. Do you realize what you are alluding to by your own actions? You don't trust him. You don't think he knows anything. And you're afraid that you about your own self-image, that you're going to look like a nut. And a bunch of us already look like nuts anyway. That's the thing about it, ain't it? But we're worried about, so why would we, beloved, be perplexed between two opinions? Either just go ahead, let him use you. Go ahead, listen to him. If God said, God himself, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased, listen to, just do that one. What are you doing? You look crazy. Listen to him. I'm just listening to him. I'm just listening. Isn't it beautiful? It's easy, beloved. It's, what are we going to say when we stand before him?
Yes.
Here's what's going to be the telltale sign. When you stand before him, you're not going to say anything. He's going to look you right in your eye, and you're going to know. Your excuse won't be an excuse at all. You'll be talking to the Creator. You'll be looking at him in his eye, and everything will be revealed to you in a moment, in a twinkling. He'll know motive, intent. He'll know your thoughts. He'll know. He knows. He knows you. He was there. He has a hair counted on your head, and he knows. He knows the ones that's not there. He knows the ones that's there. He knows. And so what kind of games do we think we're playing? And then the worst thing you could ever do, and we do this all the time, then you spiritualize it. I'm going to spiritualize my disobedience. And I do it with great scholarship. Well, God, if you confirm. Oh, if I was the Lord, I say, Almighty One, let me confirm it for you. You either get out there and do what I say do, or the next time you go to use that foot, it's going to fall off. How about that? Is that no confirmation? And he don't do like that, though. The next time you go to open that mouth, the tongue is going to stick to the roof of the mouth, and you're not going to be able to say anything because you wouldn't say what I told you to say. Just think if God, thank God, he don't think like the pastor. My God, thank the Lord for that. So God, he's good. Why don't we just listen to him? That's what he told his disciples. Don't you know? If God was going to say anything to you today, I believe this with all my heart. Oh, wait a minute. God is saying something to you. Are you listening? God is saying something. I know. I just read this, guys. I didn't make that up, guys. This was right here. Listen to him. Let's stand on your feet, brother. Praise God. Let's stand on our feet. Praise the Lord. Well, if we can have our worship team. And praise God. Praise God. I want to give you just a moment before you leave. I really think this is a big deal to God, and so that's why I always like to take the time, because you came here this morning. I think all of you came here to meet with him, right? You sure didn't come to see me. You came to meet God. You came to meet with God, and so I want to give you just a moment before we leave. Let share y'all can whatever. I don't know what you're going to sing, but while I'm singing, I just want you to think back. You know, I have this sense right now, and I believe it's given to me by God, by the Holy Spirit, that there's some things that some of you ought to reconsider that you've already kind of slid over to the plate. Won't you bring it back? Won't you bring it back center? And let's just, can we grow up enough that we don't need God to confirm anymore? Just, Lord, if you speak to me, that's enough. Lord, if you drop it in my spirit, that's enough. Let me help you with what God will say. If you are a little confused over whether that was God or not speaking to me, I tell you, God's going to speak about his word. Does that help you? It has to be word-based, word-centered, by principle, concept, precept. God's going to speak his words. So if you hear, I want you to go down and jump off the bridge, it was not God. You tell him to go jump off a bridge. Any jumping's done, let the devil jump. So just understand, God is going to speak his words to you. You'll know it's God. You don't have to, but I want us to grow up in this area of our lives where God don't have to wrestle you down every time. He will, but I don't know that he'll keep on doing it. He'll just move to the next person. And then Gail will start prophesying. Gail will start. And if Gail, then Chris, then you, we go on. The Lord's just looking for faith. Where is faith? The devil's going to and fro, seeing who he can devour, and God's looking for faith. Yay. Where's faith? Where's faith? Where's, well, look at us, Lord. Look at us. Faith. I mean, he's looking for faith. You think, well, God, he saved us. I know, but listen to me, beloved. So I would like for you, if you would, to pray with me. Mama's just telling me that her son's an alcoholic and that his life is falling apart. And so the reason she wants to share that with the church is so you'll pray. Let's pray. What's your son's name?
Sean.
Let's pray for Sean right now. Wherever Sean is, let me have your hand. My God, right now, we pray. Wherever Sean's at, whatever Sean's doing right now, we pray for divine interruption. A divine interruption. I pray that he gets so sick and tired of being sick and tired, going down the same old road, living in a cul-de-sac, going around and around but never goes nowhere, always moving but never advancing, never, oh my God. We come against principalities and powers. Oh. God, I pray. He gets tired of the alcohol. Tired of what it does to him. Tired of the people he's hurt. Tired, oh my God. Wore out. Lord. Lord, I know you said in your word, there's pleasure in sin. But it's for a season. And I pray for him that season is over. We pray for redemption power. We pray for salvation. My God. I pray, oh Lord, for Sean in Jesus' name. There was years ago, this story was told, and I'm repeating something I heard. I didn't see it, but it came from a excellent resource. There was a man, he was an alcoholic, his wife was a Christian, and she would go to church every time the doors is open, and he finally said, you go to that church one more time, and I tell you what I'm going to do for you, woman. You won't never go again. And she said, do what you must. I got to go. So she went to church. He went after her. He'd been drinking, but he wasn't drunk. And The story goes like this. He was walking down to that church. He was going to take his wife by the hair of the head and pull her out of that church in front of God and everybody. And if I tell you, you don't go to church, you don't go to church. I know you can't imagine nobody lives like that, but some people do. And as he was walking, Victor, there's a dog came out from a house walking in front of him. And the dog walked in perfect timing with the man. He said, that's the oddest thing I ever seen in my life. The dog didn't bark. The dog didn't do nothing. The dog just turned, come out, walking in front of him. And when he almost got to the church, the dog turned and looked at him and had a human face on it. Said, you better get in church. He went to church, but he didn't pull her out by the hair of no head. I tell you, my God, he went, fell on his knees. I tell you, God, I know God does all kinds of things. You can't just put him in a box. You'll make a mistake because God can do. Could you imagine if a dog turned and had a, how does that happen? I don't know. But I tell you one thing, that man told it and he gave his heart to Jesus Christ. I think I would too, wouldn't you? So, praise God. So, nothing is too hard for our God. I think what has to happen, that you have to get enough of whatever you're getting, that you would be willing to say, you know what, God, I really do need you. I really do. I've done it all, seen it all, tried it all. I give up. God can move on the scene with a man and a woman that'll give up. Give it to God. Praise God. Well, let me pray over you. I want to pray over every one of us. I want to pray this prayer. So, Father, I thank you that you decided by wisdom to impart to men, inspire men to pen words like these. This is my son in whom I'm well pleased, and listen to him. Lord, I'm praying that every one of us, Lord, just repent of our stubbornness, our disobedience, our delayed obedience. Delayed obedience is the same as disobedience. Our delayed obedience. Lord, oh my God, forgive us. Forgive us. Forgive us all. Lord, we'll just listen to you. Give us ears to hear. Lord, and for those who may not understand how to listen, Lord, they'll just know in their knower what you want them to do. They know. They know. They know it. It's scriptural, and they know it. You don't have to say anything. You've already imparted into them. Lord, they may hear through your word. They may hear through a friend. They might just hear through their pastor. I don't know. My God. You know, give us ears to hear. Hearts that will obey, oh my God. In Jesus' name I pray. Everybody said, amen. Praise the Lord. Now listen, there's two things I need for you to pay close attention to. One is, we're having a Get to Know Grace class. And that's if you want to consider being a member. I don't push it a lot, but I tell you, I welcome members. Anybody wants to be part of us. So just come over, and we're going to go over in the modular, and we're just going to go through getting to know grace. Okay? You say, well, I didn't reserve a spot. You don't have to reserve a spot. You ain't a member of the country club. You just come over. We'll share the paper. We'll go together. How about that? So you don't have to. I just want you to come if you want to come. And the other thing is, there's food across the hall, and I want y'all to go over and get food. Okay? So, and it's free. I say that every week. So, God bless you. Huh?
The prayer group starts.
Yeah, prayer group starts tonight with the kids again, our youth and our kids, right? Yeah. And so, anyway, why don't you turn, hug somebody, tell them you love them with the love of the Lord, and God bless you. Have a wonderful week. And listen to Him. Listen to Him. Listen to Him. Praise God.